Tower, the 7-5 on the runway just lost a nose tire.
Tower, sounds like we've got a problem.
Delta 982, this is the aircraft looking at you. One of your nose tires just came off. It just rolled off the runway behind you. Tower, this is Delta 1783. You may want somebody to come out. It looks like the nose tire ran off the runway towards the end down there.
That's a very recent recording of aircraft to tower chatter. The nose wheel fell off a Boeing 757 as it was taxiing down the runway. Once upon a time, there was a popular saying among many air travelers, "If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going." Well, now, if it is Boeing, you probably ain't going. A couple of weeks before that, a door just popped off another Boeing jet at 16,000 feet. The guy that runs United Airlines is an out-of-the-closet drag queen and says his primary criteria for hiring pilots and execs are race and gender. All this is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. And whether we're in the skies or on the ground, in Bag of Maggots Biden's America, we're all passengers on the Titanic. Don't bother scrambling for a lifeboat. They're already full with illegal aliens. Welcome to the thrill ride to disaster. That is America 2024, where life is a crapshoot.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
You're on, Larry. Larry.
Larry. That clip you heard of the plane losing a wheel is terrifying and real. What's unreal were some of the comments accompanying the video. One moron said,
"Tires sometimes blow. It happens."
I never answer morons on websites, so I'll do it here. It was crystal clear that the entire fucking wheel, tire and all, fell off the plane and rolled down the runway. There is no such thing as mechanical failure. There is only human failure. So some idiot failed to properly torque the lug nuts on that wheel, or maybe left some off altogether, or maybe there was a flaw in the manufacturer, and some QC wonk failed to thoroughly inspect the not-so-finished product. Maybe the steel used to forge the wheel came from a substandard batch, a fail at the foundry. But the wheel did not decide it was tired of being a wheel and then release itself from that landing gear. Somebody fucked up somewhere along the line. Fuck-ups in every industry have been trending up for a long time. Why is this? Because less is expected of everyone, and so less is what we get. It's a cultural thing that begins in early childhood. At one time, America expected a lot from its children. In rural areas, they pitched in on the farm or ranch. In cities, kids were expected to do chores around the house, work a part-time job, pull their weight. Now, kids are catered to by adults in ways that are making them weak and lazy. I recently found myself driving behind a school bus. As a kid in New York City, there was no bus to my school. Kids walked or took public transportation, usually subways. In suburban and rural areas where there were yellow school buses, there were a series of stops, right? Quite a distance apart. Kids were expected to walk to the stop and arrive on time for pickup, which, of course, made the journey quicker, used less fuel, etc., an efficient way to transport people. While stuck behind this bus on a two-lane road, it made a stop on just about every corner where there presumably was a kid. And if the kid wasn't yet at the curb, the bus would sit there, waiting, until the kid appeared. Sometimes Mommy would be standing on the doorstep buttoning Junior's coat on a kid that looked to be 8 or 9 years old. You know, for that long, arduous 10-yard walk across the lawn to a heated school bus. Clearly, it's no longer a bus service. It's a big yellow limousine with door-to-door pickup and drop-off. Because no kid should ever be inconvenienced by walking a few blocks to gather at a bus stop. And they're blaming childhood obesity on vegetable oil. So why shouldn't wheels be falling off jetliners? Checking landing gear involves effort. Like walking some distance to a bus. Here's the audio track of a United Airlines commercial from 1989.
In pilot jargon, it's called a walk-around. You see them do it before every takeoff of every plane. What you don't see are their qualifications to fly those planes. It takes them years and thousands of hours of experience. And every year, they're schooled and tested. No exceptions. Because when you're a United pilot, you hold a lot more in your hands than just the controls. Come fly the airline that's uniting the world. Come fly the friendly skies.
And at the end, a cute little toddler, which is, of course, what's referred to as a lot more than just the controls. Note the tagline at the end of the spot. The friendly skies of United. Not so friendly anymore. And if the voice seems familiar to you, it's Gene Hackman, 2-time Oscar winner. United paid a lot of dough for Hackman to voice their ads. But what's really striking is the difference in the message from 1989 to now. Then, it was about comfort, luxury, and service. Somewhere between then and now, that changed, most notably in April 2017 when a 69-year-old doctor refused to give up his seat on a departing flight. He was not combative or abusive. He just spoke the truth that he had reserved and paid for the seat weeks in advance of the flight and that he had patients he urgently needed to see at his destination. The flight crew disagreed. Summoned some local thug cops who yanked the man from his seat and dragged him across the floor, knocking out several teeth. The United CEO at the time, Oscar Munoz, threw gasoline on the public relations fire when he issued a statement backing the behavior of United employees and falsely characterizing the doctor's behavior as, quote, disruptive and belligerent. Unquote. Well, the entire incident had been video recorded by another passenger and proved conclusively that Munoz's statement was bullshit. When he saw the shitstorm he created, he quickly shifted into nice-nice mode with many apologies. When it happened, I was ripshit and knocked out in an emergency episode. I gave it a listen and even surprised myself by my fury at Munoz and his staff of ignorant punks. You can find that episode in the April 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. And by the way, I don't regret or rescind a single syllable of it. Incredibly, just 11 months later, United had another ugly incident precipitated by another moron member of the flight crew. She demanded a passenger place a small dog in the overhead bin. The passenger complied, probably having seen how that doctor was beaten for non-compliance. For 2 hours, that poor dog barked and struggled for air in that bin until it finally suffocated. Even more incredible, Oscar Munoz was still running that airline. I devoted episode 78 to that atrocity, and you'll find it in the March 2018 tab, also at thatlarryshow.com. Recently, United has received another black eye, this time from one-eyed Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw, whose wife and small dog were treated rather badly by some masked hag employed by United. Crenshaw posted an 8-minute video on X summarizing the entire encounter, with privately shot video as well as airport security video. Though the dog is tiny and had flown on hundreds of flights, the United agent decided she was going to exercise her authority and not allow the dog in the plane. According to Crenshaw, his wife acquiesced, said she'd book passage on another airline, and that's when things got weird. The woman grabbed the dog from its little travel bag, attempting to photograph it so she could place the dog and Crenshaw's wife on the United no-fly list. Nothing on the video indicates anything remotely aggressive or abusive in her behavior. Then Crenshaw posted audio from a subsequent meeting he had with one Philip Griffith, who runs United's operation in Houston. That's where things went from weird to insane. But not really. Crenshaw was dealing with a corporation with a proven history of assaulting passengers and killing dogs. I won't play the entire clip. You'll find a link to it on my homepage. But I have some samples from Crenshaw's encounter with this Philip Griffith guy. As somebody should have had the sense to connect Crenshaw with the drag queen CEO Scott Kirby. But instead, he got this guy who doesn't have the slightest idea that airlines are a service business. Here's Crenshaw.
Now, I don't know why anyone in United thought this was the guy who should meet with me, but that's what they did. Now, I got a bad feeling about him right from the beginning. I'm thinking, I need to record this conversation, and that's exactly what I did, and I'm legally allowed to do that in Texas. It's a one-party consent state.
Crenshaw's feeling about Griffith seems justified. He seems to think he's some kind of tough guy, that he's going to school Crenshaw. And as you'll hear, Griffith is combative and confrontational.
I say, look, I just want three things. I want a video of what happened. I want to know what your regulations are with respect to customer interaction. Here's his response. I mean, just right off the bat. Let's listen.
We can talk. What I'm getting paid on record, you and your wife and customers like you all every single day.
Yeah, and right. You treat them all the same.
Let's go.
Yeah, I deal with people like you and your wife and customers like you every single day. Let's go. It's combat to him. He hates me for sure. Like, that was obvious, right? He knows who I am, hates my guts. It's so obvious the contempt that guy has for customers.
Wow. Now who's belligerent, Griffith uses the PLY phrase, people like you. Ooh, great way to start a meeting, idiot. But wait, it gets better.
Now, Philip goes on to chastise me, lie about what my wife's actions were. He called her handsy, called her agitated.
Your wife was handsy. She was agitated from the very start.
Said that his agent was calm with her hands by her side the entire time. I said, okay, well, let's just see the video. Because at this point, I had not seen the video, so I wasn't really sure. And so he finally brings in a guy to show us United's version of the video. They have their own cameras. I don't know what they were hoping for. I don't know what they think was in that video. I think he hadn't watched it yet, to be honest. Step by step, it shows exactly what my wife said it would show. It shows the initial incident. It shows them trying to get Joey out of the bag. It shows my wife saying, no, I'm taking Joey's our dog, away from this situation. And then it shows the last part where Angela commits assault against my dog, grabs our property. At that point, I'm pretty happy because, you know, hey, it looks like my wife's version of the story was the absolute correct one. Looks like Philip was lying. Looks like Angela was lying. Looks like United Airlines was lying. And I say, right there in the effing video. And of course, you know how you're like not allowed to curse around airline agents? He flips out. Listen to this.
There it is. It's literally exactly how my wife described it. My wife starts to push our infant away from the situation. They're trying to leave. Karen, behind her back, jumps in to grab our dog. It's on the fucking video.
Are you cursing at me?
Oh, is that a little loud?
Yeah, so, it's not a lot.
Okay, sorry. So
shut up with that.
You can tell me to shut up. But that was
how about bad. That? Crenshaw offended the rough, tough operations manager when he said fuck And then Griffith tells him to shut up. What a candy ass. Maybe that guy needs some testosterone infusion treatments. His boss, Scott Kirby, might as well. When the world had not lost its mind, United tried to seduce you with promises of pampered comfort. Now the corporation, with 92,000 employees and $59 billion in revenues, is run by a drag queen who openly flaunts his kink. Most people have kinks, and the ones in high-profile jobs wisely keep them private, which is a very good idea for anyone running an airline. Publicly flaunting your drag kink sends kind of a negative message, beginning with shitty judgment for openly flaunting it. The only person who really, really cares about Scott Kirby's kink is Scott Kirby. The employees don't. The shareholders don't. And passengers, they sure as hell don't. Passengers prefer to think that the guy running an airline eats and sleeps his job and therefore doesn't have time to put on costumes and shake his ass like a pole dancer. A CEO represents the entire corporation. And when he behaves like a reveler at San Francisco's Folsom Street Fair, well, that's not a good look. Doesn't inspire confidence. But back to Crenshaw's meeting.
Prior to that, he'd actually been threatening me, telling me, we're going to end this one way or the other, right? And I was like, just listen to it.
About to come to a real quick end.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Because I'm going to end.
Oh, yeah? That sounds threatening to me.
No, I'm telling you it's going to end.
Are you threatening me?
Don't play with me.
I'm not playing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give a care what you think you can do.
I don't think I can do anything. I don't think I can do anything. I just like to know if I'm being threatened.
I told you what's
going to
happen.
I just want to, what is going to happen?
I told you what's going
to
happen.
The meeting
is about to come to an end.
It's just important for my personal safety if I know what you're saying. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah. Real good people skills over there, United Airlines. Yeah, they love customers.
Crenshaw claims he's going to spearhead legislation that will offer airline customers some protection from the staffers whose salary they pay. Good luck with that, Dan. The FAA is not there to regulate airlines. It's there to regulate passengers, who are now held in lower regard than livestock. The airlines have legions of whore lobbyists who stroke politicians to ensure their legislation always favors the airlines. Capping it all is United's financial situation. Had you invested in United stock 5 years ago, your money would now have shrunk by a jaw-dropping 49%. Clearly, United Airlines is a corporation with a systemic arrogance problem, and the board of directors must be mouth breathers. They let Munoz keep his job after his colossal fuck-up, and then they hire Scott Kirby. You can't make this shit up. I'm not a fan of Dan Crenshaw. For a combat vet, he should have handled Griffith a lot better. I'm even less of a fan of former Congressman Adam Kinzinger. I think he's a chooch. But, like the broken clock right twice a day, Kinzinger's comment about Crenshaw's experience was a stone truth. Here's what he said, quote, "Watching this made me angry. I once had an airline lobbyist tell me he overheard his CEO say, 'Congress can't touch us. We're untouchable.' The arrogance of the airlines, and especially United, is stunning." Unquote. Yes, it is. Air travel has become a nightmare. Customers are treated like shit. As if they ride for free, and the airline is doing us all a favor. When things go wrong, look for government to be at the bottom of it. Post 9/11, government endowed flight crews with near limitless power, which some are clearly now abusing. So many of us are treated like terrorists. Which is why a clown like Philip Griffith thinks he has a right to address paying customers as people like you. and at the same time be offended when he hears the word fuck. Griffith and his nutty boss Kirby need to understand that ultimately they work in a service business. They are not movie stars or rock stars or pro athletes. Unlike the aforementioned airlines serve customers. The only difference between an airline and a restaurant, an Uber, or a hair salon is the altitude. Get over yourselves. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Big news. A few episodes ago, I took a little survey about making a fresh batch of LUTFA stickers. Your answer was swift and affirmative. You want them? We got them. Now, thanks to Bidenomics, the price has risen a bit, but there's still a steal at $15 each or three for $40. And the shipping is free. Available only to U.S. residents. Go to thatlarryshow.com, click the PayPal button, and place your order. Be sure to include a mailing address and mention the word LUTFA, so I know that's what you want. If you don't mention LUTFA, I might mistake your payment for a donation. Now, just in case you're new to the Take No Shit Dojo, LUTFA is an acronym I coined that identifies our political mantra, leave us the fuck alone. You can see the sticker at thatlarryshow.com, and when you do, you will appreciate its towering cool quotient. They're weatherproof and damn near indestructible. The one on the trunk lid of my car has withstood triple-digit desert heat and been iced over here in the Northeast, and it still looks like new. So grab a LUTFA sticker for yourself and a bunch for your friends and tell the world where you stand in opposition to ASTCOs, that's assholes seeking to control others, which is Joey's regime and every group of oppressive creeps since the dawn of time. I'll see you right here at the Take No Shit Dojo next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.